بدأنا بسم الله وبالصلاة الله على رسول الله وآله الأبرار. Begin with بسم الله and with صلاة الله upon رسول الله.
سمعنا عليه من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أمراض القلوب واللسان كاملة. اللقاء 18 تحت عنوان الغيبة الدرس السابع. My dear brothers and sisters, this is our 18th meeting under the title Evil Actions of the Hearts and Tongue. And we're talking about the غيبة, and this is the seventh and the last lecture concerning that. Just to refresh your memory about what we talked last time, we have said that to deal with the ghibah, to clean yourself from the ghibah, there are a few things that you need to do. Number one, you need to remember that you are exposing yourself to the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are giving your good deeds to someone whom you don't like. Not only that, you could be also getting his bad deeds to be loaded on you in the Day of Judgment. Also remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could incite that enemy of yours, or the one that you don't like, against you. And he will be a source of misery for you because of what you have done. Remember also the shortcomings that you have, and get busy fixing them. And if you think that you are a great person, free of defects, then busy yourself with Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the wonderful thing that you have, rather than looking at other people and talking down about them. We also said that in order for you to seek help in trying to stay away from ghibah, there are few things. Number one, taqwallah. Taqwallah. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. أَنْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ بَلَى أَنْ يَحْسَبُونَ If they think that we don't hear their private and their public talk, if they think that, indeed, we do. Not only that, we have our scribes writing down everything that they do. This is an ayah in Surah Az-Zukhruf that really breaks the heart of any believer who really thinks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that you do. Because people normally, when they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not present in their mind. They don't see Him. This is like out of sight, out of mind. You don't see it, then it's not there. This is how people think. But a real conscious person knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. If you remember, or if you think that nobody sees you, always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. That will help you to stay away from that backbiting. Also, remember the loss that you will exposing or endangering yourself with, losing the hasanat, to the point that you may come bankrupt. يا yes, you pray and you fast and you do all wonderful things, but this person, you have to pay him from your deeds because you have said bad things about him. This person, you attacked his honor. This person, you hit him. This person, you lied. And then you give this person, this person, and this person at the end, what? You end up bankrupt. And we have all the hadith that we have presented those. Also, when you remember your defects, it helps you to stay away from all of this. Sit with the righteous people and listen to the admonitions of the lifestyle of the companions and the righteous people and the successors and such. How they led their life. How patient they were. What things they used to fear of. What do they do when they commit a sin? How conscious are they of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the three generations are the best. Three generations are the best. The generation of the companions radiallahu anhum and two generations after that. So, if they are the best, then definitely they are my example. And this is the meaning of when you say, I am a Muslim according to the Quran and the Sunnah. It's not enough. And according to the companions, the understanding of the companions. Because you can follow the Quran and the Sunnah and still deviate. Because who understands the Sunnah and the Quran better than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Look at Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu when he described the companion. And he told us to hold fast to their Sunnah, to their way. He said that they were the most knowledgeable. They were the most righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them to be the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them to carry this deen for us. So know their purity and give them their respect and follow their path because by Allah they are on the straight path. Says Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So this is the meaning of learning and studying and following the path of the companions and those who came after them. Also, punish yourself. Don't always wait for someone else to punish you. Like your wife, for instance. You take it from your wife. See if you can take it from yourself. Remember, we said a story. We said a story about someone who punished himself for backbiting. Every time he backbites, what does he do? He fasts. No problem for him. It did not stop him, so he punishes himself with money. And that stopped him. By the way, inshallah, March 7th, ISAP will have a fundraising very near to you. I told him, listen, Irving is in my heart. I served in Irving more than I served in Arlington, even though I lived there all my life. And I said, you want to select something, it has to be closer to Irving than Arlington. So we chose that Marriott Hotel. Close to here. And I will give you another surprise as time gets closer. This is March 7th, inshallah. You would like it, inshallah. But remind me, give money. So if you really want to punish yourself, and I know you're all backbite, come to the fundraising and punish yourself. Inshallah. And hopefully that one, I mean, that will stop you. Will or won't? Will stop, inshallah. Because you need to get the reward of giving and to free yourself from the sin of not giving. Also, we have said that the person who backbites, he had committed two crimes. One against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he did not listen to his commands. And one against the people because he violated their rights. And their rights could be their body, their honor, their wealth, their relatives, anything that you harm people with, this is their rights. And they have rights upon you to respect that, and to honor that, and to protect that. To defend that, not to attack it, to defend it. So you have done two violations. And if you want to repent, there are conditions. Three conditions for the violation between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, I would say, before I would say anything, I would stop what I'm doing. And number two, I will regret what I have done. And number three, that I determine not to do it again. These are the conditions for any sin, actually. But we're talking about backbiting. Stop backbiting. And regret it. And intend not to do it again. Three conditions, and that would be a sincere repentance. For the rights of the people, now remember it has two rights. You have fulfilled one side. Between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're free. The person is left. The person that you backbite, you're not free with him. These three things will not free you from the rights of that person that you have committed that sin against. What do you need to do? You need to ask him to forgive you if your backbiting reached him. You knew that he heard what you have said about him. Then you need to say, brother, forgive me. And if he refuses to forgive you, he's not a real righteous person. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a great reward. In fact, Imam Shafi'i told us something here. He said, من استرضى أو من استرضي فلم يرضى فهو شيطان. Any person whom you try to please him, to forgive you, and he rejects that, he's a shaitan, he's a devil. Meaning that someone coming to ask you for forgiveness, you always raise your hand and you say, oh Allah, forgive me. And you expect it to happen. And you believe it will happen. But yet when someone comes and asks you, forgive me, you don't want to give it to them. How can you expect yourself for any time you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you time after time after time, and for your brother who's coming, you don't. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? Look at this, when you read the Quran and you reflect on the story of the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha, when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anha cut the support for one of the companions, he used to support him. But he heard that he went into that grave sin, the mischief, the slander of Aisha. He heard that, he spoke about it too. He got involved in it with the hypocrites. He's not a hypocrite, but he got influenced. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, as a punishment for him, he told him, by Allah, I'm not going to support you and support you anymore. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you think of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He even defends the believers when they sin. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you, knows how righteous you are. And He, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the hearts of the people of Badr. Because one of the companions in the people of Badr, he committed like what we call nowadays treason. He took information to the disbelievers about a battle. Information about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his people. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about it and he knew it through the revelation. He sent after him Ali ibn Abi Talib and other companions and they caught him. Anyway, I don't remember the exact names of that, but the point is, he said, O Prophet of Allah, it wasn't, you know, he is Hatib ibn Abi Balqa'ah. He said, it wasn't that I have any doubts in my faith. It's not because I'm a hypocrite. But I figure that all the companions have relatives in Mecca. They can protect their things. I don't have any relatives. So I was looking for some kind of support in Mecca to take care of my belongings there. It sounds decent. Umar ibn Khattab, what does he want to do? Yeah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ. What do you know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at their hearts and he said, go do whatever you want, I have forgiven you. And he is from the people of Bedir. So this companion who talked about Aisha radiallahu anha, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha stopped support for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat to encourage. You cannot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot force you to do extra things different than the zakat. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha was doing extra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, let those people, from those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endowed them with wealth, not to hold back from reaching people in need, people who migrated, their relatives. Don't you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? Look at the catch. In the beginning, don't hold back from supporting them. This is hint number one. Abu Bakr Siddiq, you're dealing with someone, he is his relative, I believe his cousin. Misbah. Okay, we got the hint. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? What Muslim who doesn't like that? Hint number two. Don't you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? Immediately Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu got the point. What did he say? He said, yes, O Allah. And I'm going to reinstate the support for him. In other words, he made a sin. You make sins. Allah forgives you. Why can't you forgive him? Responded. So this is something that you do. You ask the person, if he hears about it, if he doesn't, you don't do that, because you ask, you make dua for him. There is a hadith that I did not read for you last time. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَيَعْجَزُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ كَأَبِي ضَمْضَمْ, the father of ضَمْضَمْ. Does any of you cannot be like Abu ضَمْضَمْ, one of the companions? كَانَ إِلَىٰ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ قَالْ, whenever he leaves his house, he says, إِنِّي تَصَدَّقْتُ بِعِرْضِي عَلَى النَّاسِ, I have volunteered, I have gave my rights to people. Meaning, whoever said anything against me, I forgive him. Every time he leaves the house, we know the story of the companion who does not sleep until he forgives everyone. And what was the story? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, you're in Jannah for that. So, but let's not misunderstand that hadith. This hadith, I leave the house and I say I forgive everyone. What does that mean? Forever? No. It means whoever did anything before this morning, I forgive him. I need another one for tomorrow, for whoever does today. So tomorrow I do the same thing, and you continue to do that, and that is what Abu Dhamdam used to do. We also said that backbiting is levels. It can be kufr, if you think it's not haram, and it can be a major sin, because you're committed it, and it can be acceptable or permissible. And you remember the six conditions for permissibility? القَدْحُ لَيْسَ ذُلِيمَةٍ فِي سِتَّةٍ مُتَظَلِّمٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ وَمُحَدِّرٍ وَمُجَاهِرٍ فِسْقًا وَمُسْتَفْتٍ وَطَالِبِ إِعَانَةِ فِي إِزَالَةِ مُنْكَرٍ. A person who is being oppressed, he can talk about the person who oppressed him. A person who wants to identify a person, he can talk about him, even though it sounds like bad things in our eyes. You want to learn from a person. You see a person who is publicizing the sin, or a person is asking you a question in reference to another person, like a wife coming to complain to you about her husband. That's not backbiting. And finally, if someone wants help to remove evil, he can come and tell you so-and-so is doing so-and-so and I need your help because you have a relationship or something I want to stop. It's okay. These are not backbiting. And we said, actually this is the last thing we said, we stopped. And some kinds, I said we're going to talk about some kinds of backbiting that is very common nowadays. Number one, الطعن في الأحساب والأنساب. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, أربع في أمتي من أمر الجاهلية لا يتركوهم. We're supposed to leave anything from the pagans' traditions, the bad pagans' traditions. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, four in my ummah, four things from the behaviors, from the actions of the pagans that my ummah will never leave. And one of those things is, guess what? Bragging about their lineage. You know, I am so and so and so from so and so. Remember the story when we said one person said so and so and the other person, he said, I am a Muslim, my name is Muhammad so and so. And just a couple of names. The other one was bragging, and you don't really need to tell me what is your tribe. And like one person said, oh, you don't know that tribe. It's the biggest one. Oh, mashallah. Who cares about it? But people do it. Al-istisqa bin nujum. You look at the stars, and there are stations or for the stars. There are special places for the stars during certain times that they disappear and they show up during times. They connect that with the rain. If the star disappeared and it rains, they say, مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ so كَذَا وَكَذَا. Yani, we had rain because of the star so and so. When they disappear and when they come, this is yani another hadith. And what is that? This is, of course, you get the rain from what? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the eclipse happened at the time of the death of the son of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He gathered the companions, he prayed, and he said that this is, what's a big deal? He said, this is not what causes the death of my son, because he doesn't want the people to think that because of what happened, the eclipse, that's what happened, his son died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he told them and he cleared that this is not from them, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because people used to believe that rain comes because of that and other things comes because of that. طيب. So this is one, this is two actually. An-niyaha 'ala al-mayyit. People, when someone dies, they mourn that dead person and they exaggerate, they scream, they pull their hair, they tear their clothes. This is not going to be extinct. People will continue to do that. And do people still do that? Yes, they do. Guess what? They even hire people to do it. Can you imagine? You hire women to come and incite other women to cry. You know, one son asked his father, he said, Father, why when you speak, you break the hearts of the people? And when other people speak, they don't affect them. Look what his answer is. He said, the lady who cries when she really misses her son is not like the lady who cries because she was hired to do so. I give the lecture from the bottom of my heart. It comes from the bottom of my heart. I believe in what I am saying. And what comes from the heart reaches the heart. Other people, they give nice, eloquent speech and everything, but you look at the person, he's not even affected. So people are not influenced. So a lady who's really missing her son crying, you can tell that she is really missing her son, not like a person who's paid to do that. So this is one of the things that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that people will continue to do that. And finally, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, الاستسقاء بالنجوم النياحة، وقال النائحة إذا لم تثب قبل موتها تقام أو تقوم يوم القيامة وعليها سربال من قطران. The day of judgment, that a woman who does that, she will be resurrected and she would have clothes, dressed up in clothes made of boiling hot oil, metal that is extremely hot, and this is how she would look. This is the punishment for it. Second thing that we see nowadays, al-hams wal-lams. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. What is hams and what is lams? Simple definition, anything that you do to attack your brother without talking. Give you an example. I'm talking to this brother and I say, you know, Brother John, when he doesn't look, I'm talking to him. Or when you mention his name, just make a disgusting look in your mouth. Stick your tongue on that person. Wink at him. Shrug your shoulder. These are forms of backbiting without talking. This is also haram. Or like when you talk about something, you say, oh mashallah, this person is knowledgeable, and you go. That means empty. He doesn't have any knowledge. It's like you're emptying your hand. He's empty. He's got nothing. Taqleed, another form that imitation. You imitate someone with his voice, the way he walks, the way he eats. If you watch some of the movies and those things, actually, that's all they do, is encouraging people to imitate other people and make them a source of laughter. For other things that you do, imitate other people, and the purpose of that is to make other people laugh. Now if you stand in front of the brother and you say that in front of his face and you know he's accepting that, this is not. But we're talking to other people to make him a source of laughter. Dhikr al-masawi, to talk about people, about their shortcomings. Everyone has shortcomings. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam infallible. But we have shortcomings. So if we have shortcomings, then let's get busy with ourselves. What kind of things that could be backbiting? You could say, oh, this person gets angry quick. That's backbiting. Or you could say he's very lazy. Or you could say, thqil dam. Thqil dam in Arabic, heavy-blooded. You know, when you say thqil dam in Arabic, it means like you just can't stand it. It's like a hot coat in the middle of July. Just, you know, when you see the person, you can't stand whatever he says, it is too heavy on you. Now this is backbiting if you say that. Or the person, his mood is like excess weather. One day shiny, the next day tornado, the next day rain, the next day sleet. You know, this is backbiting. Or he gets angry fast. It's like somebody stepping on his tail all the time. You know, when you get angry, somebody would say, who stepped on your tail? You step on the tail of a dog or a cat, what happens? He bites you. You come to the person. One brother did that to a brother who gets angry all the time. He told him that. He was so angry to the point he forgot that he's comparing him to an animal. Look what he said. He said, brother, who stepped on your tail? He said, nobody stepped on my tail. Oh, wow. I said, you got a tail? Or this person snores. You know, I traveled with a friend of mine one time, and he asked me that question. He said, Sheikh, do you snore? I said, boy, that's a tough one. Sometimes I hear that. I do it sometimes. I don't, depending on what pill you're sleeping on, were you sleeping on, are you tired, did you stay up late? You know, sometimes you have reasons. I said, you know, give or take. So I made sure he sleeps first. I wanted to see he snores. He snored, but, you know, it's so tiny, it's like a baby. It's not noisy and everything. So I said, wow, this is good. Put one leg over the other and went to sleep. And I said, brother, don't tell me I snore. You do. I stayed and said, do I really snore? I said, I did not tell him how bad. It wasn't that bad, but you figure it out. So you come and there are many people who have, this is a shortcut. This is something that people talk about. Some people, actually one person said, everyone when I tell him you snore, he gets so angry. So that tells you it is backbiting if you say that about your brother. Also, you could say this person sleeps too much. That's backbiting. Let me give you the story. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who do you think that better than those two companions? They were together and they had a servant with them. They woke up, they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sleeping, far away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They woke up in the morning and the servant did not prepare the food and everything and what he's supposed to do. So one of them said to the other, إِنَّ هَذَا لَيُوَائِمْ نَوْمَ بَيْتِكُمْ. He said, this is like similar to sleeping at his home. And not as a servant, not in a travel, not, he's not, it's like he's not doing what he's supposed to do. They basically backbite him with what? He sleeps too much. Overslept, meaning he sleeps too much when they said that. So they woke him up and they said, go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum are asking you for food. So he went. He went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدِ اتَّدَبَ. They have had their meal. So the servant went back and he said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you have had your meal. They were shocked. Jazi'a dhahaba ila Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, ba'athna ilayka nasta'dimu fa qul qad ittadamna fa bi ayyi shay'in ittadamna. We sent for some food and you said you have eaten. He said, what did we eat? We haven't eaten anything. Qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bi lahmi akhikum. You have eaten the flesh of your brother. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. By Allah, he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not a joke. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to emphasize the danger of what he's talking about or the truthfulness of what he's talking about. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنِّي لَرَأَرَى لَحْمَ أَوْ لَحْمَهُ بَيْنَ أَنْ يَذِكُمَا. By Allah, I see his flesh between your teeth. Literally. Look what, now this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar, not a joke. And they're sitting like that, they want to free themselves. They said, istaghfir lana ya Rasulullah. Ask Allah to forgive us, O Prophet Allah. They know his forgiveness is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what he said. هو فليستغفر لكم. Go ask him to forgive you. Because he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. But this is the right of their slave. Slave brothers. We're not talking about a brother, a free man, someone that you are hiring, someone you own actually. And you're backbiting. I mean, this tells you the danger of backbiting. Another form that we see nowadays is laughing. Laughter. You see people gathering and they like some person because every time when they're sitting he comes and he starts throwing jokes left and right, talking about people, mimicking people, comparing people and doing everything, and people are so happy. لبق الله سبحانه وتعالى سيد. والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا. Those people who harm the believing women and the believing men with things that they don't deserve, meaning that unjustly, unrightfully, they have loaded themselves with sins or with great sins and great slanders. This is warning number one. Any Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "من حالت شفاعته دون حد من حدود الله فقد ضاد الله." Anyone who intercedes to not fulfill a penal code that is prescribed, a prescribed punishment against someone, he had declared opposition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No judge can, if someone steals, can cancel the punishment of cutting the hand of the thief, if it has been proven. No judge has the right to do so. Not even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Jews brought a woman who had committed, in some instances that she had stole something, and she was from a prestigious family, and they sent the most beloved companion to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zayd ibn Thabit, I believe, or his son. Look what he said. He stood and he made a speech for everyone. He said, "This is what have destroyed nations before you. They used to, when a noble person steals, let him go. And when an average person steals, they establish the penalty against him. By Allah, if Fatima, my daughter, the son of Prophet Muhammad, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stole, I will cut her head." And who is Fatima? No. This is not what we're looking at. Who is Fatima in the heart of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He told her at one instance, "Ya Fatima, salini mashit." Oh Fatima, ask me anything you want. I will do it for you. But he wants to attract her attention to something. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. You get nothing the day of judgment except what you do. It's not like my father is a good imam, my father is a speaker, my father is a judge, not even my father is a prophet. It will not help you. سَلِينِ مَا شِدْتِ لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكِ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. This is like the saying, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith of Qudsi that this is your deeds, I am accounting you for it. If you find something good, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you found something bad, blame yourself. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will cut her hair. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Also he said, وَمَنْ خَاصَمَ فِي بَاطِلٍ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي سَخَطِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَنْزِعَ عَنْهُ. Anyone who argues with falsehood, and he knows that he's arguing with falsehood, he will be in the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as he's doing it until he stops and repents. وَمَنْ قَالَ فِي مُؤْمِنٍ مَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ أَسْكَنَهُ اللَّهُ رَدْغَةَ الْخَمَالِ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِمَّا قَالَ. And anyone who says anything about his brother, accusing his brother with something that not true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him live and drink from the pus of the people of the hellfire. How disgusting that is. You know, when a person is burned, how the skin bubbles and all that? This is his feast because of what he did. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, referring to laughter, وَيْلٌ لِلَّذِي يُحَدِّثُ الْقَوْمَ فَيَكْذِبْ لِيُضْحِكَهُمْ فَيَكْذِبْ
ويل له ويل له. Woe to the person of his people, the one who speaks to the people so he can make them laugh. He lies to make them laugh. What a horrible thing he's doing. What a horrible thing he's doing. What a punishment he's awaiting. What a punishment he is awaiting. Some people think that when people laugh, he is bringing happiness to the heart of their of his brothers. You know, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us, "Surur tudkhilu ala qalbi Muslim." From the best righteous deeds that you can do is to make your Muslim brother happy. So I come and I start backbiting another brother to make you happy. That's what some people take. I will conclude, inshallah, with some examples here and conclude the whole lecture about backbiting, dealing scholars and how they deal with backbiting. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, ذكر الإمام أحمد رجلا فقال في نفسي شغل, يعني ذكر الإمام أحمد رجل فقال في نفسي شغل عن ذكر الناس. A man came and spoke to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal something about his another person. Yeah, basically he started backbiting about another person. Imam Ahmad told him, I have too many things to worry about myself, meaning shut up and go. I'm not willing to listen to you. But this is in a good way. See, also you want to be attractive in your enjoying good and forbidding evil. You don't want to tell him, oh brother, you are committing a major sin, oh brother, you are bad, oh brother, you backbite and everything. No. If you come and you tell him, you come to backbite someone, they say, brother, I have too many problems to worry about myself. This is a nice way, and he gets the hint that I don't want to listen to that. Also, ذكر له رجل فقال, يعني ذكر له عن رجل, تكلمه. One person was talking about another man. So Imam, yeah, they asked him about it. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said, مَا أَعْلَمُ بِاللَّهِ خَيْرًا. I don't know anything about that man except good. Look what they said. قِيل قَوْلُكَ فِيهِ خِلَافْ قَوْلُهُ فِيكَ. He said, but this is not what he says about you. You know, you come and you say, what do you think about Brother John? And I say, Allah, he's a good man. And then they come and say, but that's not what he says about you. Wow, look at that. Look how they are really looking for trouble. Look what Imam Ahmad said. He smiled and he said, I still don't know anything about him except good. You want me to lie? This is what I know about him, irrelevant to what he says about me, whether it is true or it's a lie. I'm not going to lie because he had done what he did. Then they told him, he said, huwa wa ma yaqul. I don't know anything bad about him, but let him say what he wants to say. And then they insisted. He said, turiduni an aqul ma la a'lam. You want me to say something I don't know? Yani, you want me to say something bad about him and I don't know it? Get away. Another person told Imam Ahmad, rahimallahu salim. He was telling him a story. He said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on Salim. Zahimat rahilatuhu rahilat rajul. Faqala rajul li Salim, araka shaykh. Qal ma ab'ad. Two camels walking. Salim riding on a camel. His camel pushed the other camel. The one who was riding that camel got angry. He told him, hey, old man. He told him, you're not far away. Meaning, you're right, I am old man. But what does that mean? He did not tell him in a nice way. He is putting him down with his age. Look how he responded to him. You're not far away. Rather than, I'll tell you a story later. Two drivers met each other. A male driver going uphill and a female driver going downhill. Slow driving because of the curves and everything. The female driver, when she got close to him, she leaned outside the window and she said, pig! What's the first thing that comes to his mind? He called her a female dog. he goes around the curb, a pig in the middle of the road ran into him and crushed his car. She meant to warn him, but she cannot say the whole thing. She cannot tell him, watch out, there's a pig in the street, and because it's just passing by. He thought, with his mentality, that she's cussing him. So he cussed her back, and did not think, and he ran into the pig. This is, what's the catch in this story? Is if you are a good person, even if someone says that to you, in reality, you don't respond. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. When you pass by people who are involved in themselves in vain talk, you dignify yourself. You don't get involved with them. If someone attacks you, someone ignorant, you don't become ignorant and lose your ethics and everything because the person that you are a step higher. جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى فُضَيْلٍ بِنْ بِزْوَانٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ فُلَانٍ يَقَعُ فِيكَ فَقَالَ لَأُغِيظَنَّ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَهُ. Wow. Someone coming to tell another person, so-and-so is backbiting you. He said, wallahi, I'm going to anger and to do something to anger something from his affairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. Then he told him, مَنْ أَمَرَ. I'm going to anger, I'm sorry, it's not amri, it's amara, man amara. I'm going to anger the person who commanded him to do so. May Allah have mercy on him. Have mercy on whom? On the person who backbite, not the person who ordered him to backbite. Then the other man said, who ordered him to do so? Qala shaytan. He said, shaytan. Inna shaytan, leshi tushrabush khamar. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانَ أَنْ يُوقَعْ بَيْنَكُمْ الْعَدَاوَةِ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسَرِ. Shaytan wants you from drinking to get what? To enjoy yourself? No. He wants to instill enmity and hatred and fights among you. So this person did to that person what he did to backbite. So if he says, may Allah forgive him, he defeated the purpose of the shaytan. Shaytan is happy to see them fight. Now he did not. So he, shaytan failed in that. Look at that. جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى وَهْبِ بْنِ مُنَبِّهِ فَقَالَ إِنَّ فُلَانًا يَقَعُ فِيكَ فَقَالَ وَهْبَ أَمَا وَجَدَ الشَّيْطَانُ أَحَدًا يَسْتَخِفُّ بِهِ غَيْرَكَ. A man coming to you to tell you so and so was backbiting you. Look what he said. He said, didn't the shaitan find anything, anyone worse than you to use him? Yeah, you're coming to tell me the shaitan took you as a messenger of evil. You're doing namima. You're bringing words from this person to this person. Shaitan found nobody in this world except you to come and tell me that? When he saw the person who was backbiting him, he invited him, he smiled in his face, he gave him a good seat, and he respected him more. To what? To let the shaitan know that it's not going to work with me. This is like a person who eats with his left hand, and knows that shaitan eats with his left hand, knows the shaitan is pleased with that. But I was born like that. My parents did not. I'm a left-handed person. But he goes, even if I can't enjoy the meal, wallahi, I'm going to eat with my right hand. I'm not going to give the pleasure to the shaitan. Look at the reward for that person. And eventually, it becomes a habit. قال خالد الربعي كنت في المسجد الجامع فتناول رجلا فنهيته. Khalid, he said, I was in the masjid. They start talking about a person. So I told them to not do that. So they started talking about another person. So I told him not to do that. Then talked another person, I got involved. See, when you get in with a group of evil people, the best thing to do is not to think, I'm a wonderful person, I will not involve myself, and you stay there. They talked about the person, you told them no. They continued, I leave. It's not like I test them one more time and one more time. He stayed with them, so he got involved, he started backbiting. He said, I dreamt that night an ugly person, very powerful, very scary, came to me with a piece of pork, flesh of the swine, lahm khanzir, and he told me eat. I said, I don't eat that. Not only it's haram, it's disgusting, it stinks. He said, eat that. You have done worse than that. And he said, and he starts stuffing it in my mouth. That's a dream. He said, by Allah, it took 40 days to get rid of the smell and the taste of that pork in my mouth from that. It's a dream. But he still tastes it when he eats food. This is how disgusting it is. Sufyan ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu كان جالسا عند إياد بن معاوية فمر رجل فنلت منه فقال أسكت ثم قال لي هل غزوت الروم؟ A person was sitting with Sufyan ibn al-Husayn. So a person passed, so he said something about him. He told him, be quiet, don't do that. Then he said it again. He told him, did you invade the Romans? He said, no. He said, did you invade the Turks? He said, no. He said, those two countries, you freed them from your evil. And this brother of yours, you decided to attack him? Yani, the enemy of God, you haven't done that to them. You haven't done anything to harm them. And now your close brother, you're attacking him. Look how they put their Hakim al-Zahid, last two, inshallah. ثلاثة إذا كنا في مجلس فالرحمة عنهم مصروفة ذكر الدنيا والضحك والوقوع والوقيعة في الناس. حاتم الزاهد is a very righteous person who tries to stay away from indulging too much in life. He said three things. If they are present in a gathering, the mercy will not come upon them. And he said a gathering that talks about nothing but dunya. A gathering that does nothing except joke and laugh, and a gathering that does nothing except backbiting other people. And finally, I conclude with this. One of the wise people said, "In ضَعُفْتَ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ فَعَلَيْكَ بِثَلَاثٍ." If you are weak to do three good things, then I enjoin upon you three things to do instead. Listen to the beauty of this. "In ضَعُفْتَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ فَأَمْسِكْ عَنِ الشَّرِّ." If you can't do good, then don't do evil. How beautiful that is. If you can't do good, don't do evil. إِنْ ضَعُفْتَ عَنْ نَفْعِ النَّاسِ فَأَمْسِكْ عَنْ ضَرِّهِمْ. If you can't benefit people, then please don't harm them. And finally, إِنْ ضَعُفْتَ عَنِ الصَّوْمِ فَأَمْسِكْ عَنْ أَكْلِ لُحُومِ الْبَشَرِ. If you can't fast, then please fast from eating the flesh of your My dear brothers and sisters, these are words that I have spoken with my tongue and you heard with your ears. If anything good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if anything short, it is from me and the shaitan. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the trials, from the fitan. وَأَنْ يَمُنَّ عَلَيْنَا بِتَوْبَةٍ نَصُوحٍ We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a sincere repentance from this evil act. Of backbiting, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our end in the Jannah together. Gathering where we love ourselves as brothers here, and inshallah we will be together as brothers in the Jannah. Al-akhillahu yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqin. Brothers are enemy to one another. Friends are enemies to one another except the righteous. Whom? وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ظِلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ InshaAllah, in Jannah, you don't turn your back to your brother. All the seats are arranged where everybody's facing everybody. Nobody sits where the other person looks and he sees his back. This is for complete pleasure. Sort of like this. Fire brothers, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Just because we completed the backbiting doesn't necessarily mean there are no more evil acts at the time. I'll think of something nice, and after that I am hiding a surprise for you about a series that everyone needs to know and people are waiting for. I promised you before about it when I was talking about the series of women in Islam, but somehow I got recommended for talking about the subject. Inshallah, we'll talk about that, but it will be coming soon. I will be going out of the country May 20th for a long period of time, about 3 months, visiting family and seeking knowledge. So inshallah, if I get in that topic, hopefully I'll finish it before I leave. And we'll arrange it inshallah. So if we start talking, maybe we'll be beginning of March inshallah.